Welcome to Binary Jazz. We don't even know how to do a podcast anymore. We've been away for so long. Allison is in a completely different
time zone.
Province? a different part of the country. The land that we all know as Canada. Totally different coast. Yeah, there's been some, I don't know, weather happening, I guess, in various places. And ooh, I don't know.
It's been hot, hasn't it? Hot. That's like an understatement.
It's now a normal temperature here.
I mean, it's been over 100 degrees every day here for I don't even know how long.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
The fires of hell are raining down on Salt Lake City.
But we haven't gotten up to Portland heat wave temperatures. It hasn't gotten into the 100 and teens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least not in Salt Lake. In Southern Utah, I'm sure we've gotten that high.
We got up to, I think, 109.
Yikes.
Which is like very not, like no one was happy about it because it's not supposed to happen here.
I mean, my car thinks that it was like 106 the last couple of days. I don't know how much I believe it, but it's certainly, I mean, when you go out and it's fully dark and it's still really hot, you know, it's hot.
Yeah. Like we would wake up and it would be, let me do some translation. It would be probably like 82 and it would be 7 in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And rising rapidly.
Yeah.
And of course, at that point, our Airbnb did not have air conditioning.
Yeah, yeah, because coastal cities don't know how to deal with weather.
Yeah, and they were just, and I felt so bad because I like emailed the Airbnb people and I was just like, I know, I knew the Airbnb didn't come with air conditioning and I'm recognizing that. But also, do you have a fan? and they gave us fans, which was really
or
nice.
Or anything. Yeah.
Anything. I was like a frozen washcloth. Like, I'll take anything.
Just get a bag of peas and put it over your head. Yeah.
Honestly, we were doing all the weird, like, home remedies for heat that people were suggesting.
Yeah.
I'll do them all.
It was, so we were up in Yellowstone and we had, it's funny because the place was called a cabin, but it was actually sort of like a mobile home. Like one of those trailer home sort of deals that had crappy wood paneling, like fake wood paneling to make it look like a cabin. Mm-hmm. Didn't fool us. Yeah, they didn't have air conditioning. They had little heating units, but for the most part, like other than the first day where it had probably been just like sitting in the sun for, you know, 24, 48 hours and it had been warm up there. That it was pretty warm that first day and we just opened windows, but after that it was okay. And then it rained like half the time we were there, which is not actually as bad as it seems considering how hot it is elsewhere.
You were in Yellowstone the same time another friend of mine was in Yellowstone, interestingly enough. And I sent him a message and asked how things were going. And he said, you know, we like East Coast. So they were getting up at like 4:30 or 5 in the morning,
yes.
You know, so basically keeping their normal East Coast schedule. And, you know, heading into the park early and you
know, that like, would be, yeah, that would be
beat the crowds and the weather.
Yeah. Cause then you can get there for like the earlier, eruptions of things. It seemed like we missed the timing on a lot of things because they were just earlier than we were able to get into the park.
Yeah.
Like it was pre 10. And like, by the time we got ourselves together and my parents together, like it was, you know, after 10, we're trying to hit one or two things in the afternoon.
That's how it is with my family. It's just getting us all out the door. It's
it's
a production.
My heat. I have to lower the AC in here. Now we've been talking about heat. I'm like, I'm sweating thinking.
Well,
about
as you do that, I probably should explain what the show is. This is a podcast.
Have we not covered that yet?
No. Wherein there are three people. Me, I'm Jazz Sequence on the internet. There's Gary, who's Binary Gary on the internet, and Allison, who's Allison Plus on the internet. And we talk about a thing. Generally, Allison brings a topic and Gary and I argue over whether our definition of the topic is better, I guess. We don't really argue. We mostly just bullshit. But that's pretty much the show. All right.
And often we are both wrong.
Yeah. Almost always.
Did we take 2 weeks off or 3 weeks off? We took three.
Many,
weeks off.
I don't know, something, an amount of weeks.
Okay.
Probably three.
Okay. Probably
three. Yeah, yeah. It just feels longer because, well, Allison, like, in a totally different place in the world, you know.
I don't coming to you from to an undisclosed island.
An undisclosed location. Island. Yeah, an yeah. island location.
Oh my gosh, if you're in an island, like, yeah. Does that make you like the, like is it like a villain's island? Like, you have to enter yes. through a cave underwater?
Yes. Have you seen the History Channel series Alone? Of course it's a villain's island. The place.
Oh, yes,
that,
I have.
That place
I
wants
just watched
to kill
the
you.
Season. Yeah. Yeah. Where the people like it was like 100 days.
No spoilers. I'm only on. We're no only spoilers. Like we're only yeah, into no season two. We're almost at the end of season two, but we're only on season
okay.
two.
I still haven't been able to watch it, but I think I'm okay with that. Like, I want to go camping up north at some point. So,
I mean, yeah. I guarantee they're picking the worst time of year for these people to start. You know, like if you go up there and during the summer, I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah,
I'm sure, it's lovely.
Think about the 100-day season, though. Like, what stretch of 100 days would you pick up there?
Start at the end of winter as the temperatures are starting to warm, and then go as long as you freaking can. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you get, like, in 100 days, would you circle back around, though, and start getting cold again?
Probably not if you started early enough.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe a little
I mean, naturally,
bit.
For this show, they did. For the show, they started like, oh, it's nice and temperate, and in 2 weeks, it's going to suck.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the season's terrible and sorry.
I mean, I'm guessing the summers up there are probably pretty temperate, which means that like if you go there like the beginning of summer and you're expecting it to be like hot, then it's going to be, I mean, the hottest ever got when we were in Yellowstone was like maybe 70s, but most of the time it was like rainy and sort of like 60s and 50s. And so like if you start at that kind of weather and just kind of go downhill from there and kind of start at the peak of summer.
What was the drive time for you?
It's about 5.5 hours from here to West Yellowstone.
Yeah, I asked because I couldn't remember. We flew into Salt Lake City when I went to Yellowstone, I don't know, 15 years ago. 15 years ago? That's about right. And like my luggage was delayed and the airline was like, oh, we'll bring it to you. And I'm like, well, okay, I'm staying like the north entrance of Yellowstone. They're like, can we give you a credit to sit here and wait for it? Sure. So because it like the delivery time was going to be stupid for him. So we waited around and then in any case, we ended up getting like to the west entrance like sometime around midnight. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when we went in, the passage to go to the north entrance, they were doing road work, so we had to go mm-hmm. all the way around the loop the other way.
Mm-hmm.
We got to some spot where there was like a traffic light, or not a traffic light, a stop sign. And it was, I mean, at this point, it was probably, you know, it was well after midnight. And I was coming from the East Coast. I don't know what that was in, you know, like body time. Like we were confused. And we stopped and this wolf like walked out and it like stared over the hood of the car at us, this rental car. And I'm like, holy shit. Do you see how big that thing is? Oh, yeah. Wait, way to go, Carrie. Awesome. It's okay. She's in. Engaged in the iPad, so we'll rot her brain with the iPad instead of the language I teach her. Killing it this morning. But I mean, it was just amazing how it was amazing how just how huge it was. And and that was like my first exposure to an animal in Yellowstone, and my jaw dropped, and I think I picked it up a week later or so when we left.
We saw on our last day there, on our way into the park, we saw a bear and a coyote within, I don't know, 100 feet of each other. So they must have been going after something. There is the bear is sort of like along the side of the road, and then like just in the trees, and then like an ambulance or something came, or no, it was a ranger with its alarm on, siren on. And it came up the road, and so that sort of spooked the bear, and it kind of went further into the woods. But then, like a few minutes later, a coyote, also spooked by the sound, kind of like bounded across the road and like right by us. And we saw like a bunch of bison. One wanted to like come right up to the car. It was like 3 feet away from the car. That was both awesome and a little bit terrifying.
my first exposure to, I apparently this is the bison episode. My first exposure to bison, I was probably in, I don't know, middle school, maybe high school. I don't know where we were, somewhere in the Great Plains. And we were in a, like a minivan. It was a Ford Aerostar. My spot at that age was the very back bench seat. And we came like over this rise and there was this huge herd and they were covered, you know, they were like across the road. My dad was like, well, all right. And just kept driving. And he stopped because there was one in front of us and there was a car coming the other way. We couldn't drive around. And I look out my window and there's like one like looking down to me. I'm like, this thing is bigger than the van. Like, you know, in the back seat, I was, again, another big animal was looking at me that was amazing. I was in awe. Apparently that's all animal needs to do is make eye contact with me and I'm I turn into jello.
All they need to do.
Yeah. Do we want to do topic or do we just want to?
Yeah, let's do topic if we have a topic.
On Yellowstone,
do we have a topic?
I have a topic and I have a really small quiz.
Okay.
So the topic is imbroglio.
Natalie, right? She had that song. Yeah.
Man, I'm not.
There's
even
a sports metaphor for that one. I don't know.
I'm
what it
not
is,
but ready for anything. Oh man. Let me go
imbroglio.
Back.
Imbroglio. I'm
going to ask you to spell it for me in a minute, but not right now.
I'm thinking of a dessert. It's not a dessert. What am I thinking of?
Keep vamping.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of dumb desserts, I the other day we weren't, but I have to get to this because I made a bad choice. So I made tacos on Sunday and I went to the grocery store to get some jalapenos and I don't even remember what else. And I walked past like the dessert section and I'm like, oh, flan. I should get a container of grocery store flan. Like, that would be fun. I was wrong, I guess, is where this is headed. Because after dinner, I'm like, does anybody want flan? And resoundingly, everyone was like, no. What? What? No, of course not. So I scooped this overly watery, juicy flan into a bowl. And I'm like, and my sister-in-law was like, sure, I'll try some.
Brave soul.
Yeah. Short story boring. Grocery store flan is probably not the best choice I've made. Not the worst choice I've made, but it's not a choice I'll make again. It's still like half the container's in there. And every night after dinner, Rhonda's like,
it's okay to throw it away.
Do you want, it'll happen. I know, yeah, I know. But definitely. Every night after dinner, she's like, do you want some flan? I'm like, I get it. I get it.
Imbroglio, E-M-B-R-O-L-I-O, is that correct?
No.
No, of course not.
There's a G in there.
I am.
I-M-B-R-O-G-L-I-O.
It really is Natalie Imbroglio. Yeah, popular singer in the 90s, Natalie Imbroglio.
Do you know that song's a cover?
What song? What is the hit? Remind me. I'm blanking.
Torn.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, it's a cover by, like, who was it originally by?
It's like
let me guess. It's going to be something crazy like the Beach Boys.
No, it's going to be one of those Prince songs that was never released, like Nothing Compares to You or something. Like we all think it's Sinead O'Connor. It's her, you know, keynote song, and it's actually just a Prince song.
It's not.
Is that true?
Yeah, Nothing Compares to You is a Prince song.
Compares to You?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's why there's a two and a U, because Prince doesn't spell out those words.
Today I learned
things I learned. But no, it's nothing that exciting. It's just a Australian band that came out with it first and
got it. Meant it work.
He covered it and made it actually successful.
Made it actually good. Yeah.
So back to the topic at hand, imbroglio. It's a chess move.
Oh yes, yes, the imbroglio. There's the king's imbroglio and also the variant, the queen's imbroglio.
I feel like that's probably true though, because there are so many. I've Yes, ma'am. What? Wonderful. Hey, what does imbroglio mean? What does imbroglio mean? You don't know?
I appreciate her honesty, though.
I don't know.
Her, it's great because I say silly stuff to her, and her reaction is like, "What?" So I'll like at meals, I'll be like, "Did you want any more of this pickled herring?" As I'm holding up like strawberries or whatever, and she'll go, "What?" And I can't get enough of it. I don't know how she keeps patience with me, honestly.
Because she's forced to.
She hasn't considered the alternative. I mean, it's the answer. Like, she hasn't considered that she'd, like, you could make another choice. Rhonda and the two olders are out of town till Sunday. They left this morning. So I'm pretty excited about, we're going to go to the game store this afternoon and find a game that she and I can play for the weekend, a new game for her. There's a Thai restaurant across the street, so I'm going to pick up some food there because no one else in my family is really feeling Thai these days. So I'm going to get spicy curry.
Get all the Thai.
Yeah, I might have to get like dinner tonight and lunch tomorrow. And
so your go-to like bachelor meal is like spicy things because your family's like not into it. Chris, what's your go-to? Like, I get to eat this because no one else has to weigh in on this decision.
I like American comfort food, like burgers and fries and stuff. That's the thing that would be my go-to, I think. There's a couple places that are like, that thing where it's like, what's it? From Prue's thing on Bake Off, where she's like, you know, this is worth the calories. You know, right. it's not worth the calories. Not most of the time, but I'm that's the thing that I'm gonna do. What's your bachelorette go-to solo?
That's the word I couldn't remember.
Usually my favorite type of pizza, which has pineapple on it. Robin doesn't like pineapple, let alone on pizza.
Okay.
Pineapple across the board, he doesn't eat. So
yeah.
I feel like I like pineapple on pizza too. And I don't know, like I know that there's this like and I like pineapple, period. And I know there's this like divide. And I don't like, is it like a California thing? Or is it like a sign that we're from California that we like pineapple on pizza?
I never thought about it like that. I don't think so.
I mean, when I went to Hawaii, there's lots of pineapple on things in Hawaii. So like, obviously, you know, because it's tropical. So like
I just think people have difficulty with warm fruit. That's not.
Yeah.
Not dessert. In like a pie or something.
Yeah. That might be it. I was going to say like, it may be a coastal thing, but I don't think it's West Coast, East Coast. Like, I think it's like, you know, coastal / inland. In Florida, I think generally, like there are people who are like, oh no, pineapple pizza, yeah. But I think generally, like it's pretty normal, at least the areas of Florida I was running in. I don't think people are very opposed to it because there's plenty of pineapple in Florida. Probably stolen from Hawaii, but.
Someplace.
I think inland, like, I think that's probably that concept. I will stereotype and say it's a Midwestern thing to not like pineapple on pizza.
Good stereotyping. So imbroglio.
We lost all of our Midwestern listener.
Midwestern listener. You said it was a chess move. Tell me about this chess move.
It tells you right there. Hold on. I'm fixing a thing. Oh, can I finish this call and then we can look at it? Okay. I'm not sure what it was. It's a situation where you purposely pin the piece so that they can't move, like they're behind a pawn but can't move left or right. So they're imbroglioed behind this pawn, and either way they move, they're going to be in a capturable position. So if it were the king, it wouldn't be in check, but if they move, they would be moving into check. And if we're the queen, well, you just don't want to blunder your queen. It was an uncomfortable sentence.
I think, so if we break it down, we have oleo, which is obviously relating to eyes.
Which is a kind of oil.
That's
relating to eyes? Yeah. Oleo is relating to eyes?
Yes, yes.
Okay,
that's why you ogle. That's why you ogle. ogle happens with your eyes. And imbra, obviously, is related to like, broiling or like cooking or like something that is immersed in some sort of hot liquid. So imbroglio.
Three episodes are our worst.
Is imbroglio is obviously the process of boiling eyeballs.
Oh no.
Yeah. Food episodes are
I didn't know where that was going when I started, but that's where I wound up.
Sorry to hear that. I still think it's an action of some sort. Like not a boiling action.
To imbroglio. Imbroglio.
Yeah. That's how
Chris, that's the key reason I brought this to the table. Yeah,
Allison is here for the Italian accent.
Yeah.
Imbroglio.
Like, could you do the accent without a camera? Would it work?
I could do it, but I wouldn't be able to do the finger pinch.
Would you do it anyway, though?
Would do it off? Anyway. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, okay. I would do it anyway.
Right. Yeah.
You might not hear it.
Other phrases that you do a hand motion with automatically.
Everything.
But like, it's paired with, never mind.
I don't know. I was talking when we were in Yellowstone and I was trying to describe like where we were going to go to my parents over the phone or something. I was like mapping out different locations of the park with my hand. And then I realized I'm doing this on the phone, like obviously he's not going to see like, okay, so we're going to be here and then you can go up to there and then it's going to be over there. And that's where the stuff is. You know, he doesn't see those movements that I'm making with my hand.
Was there cellular coverage in the park? Do you remember?
Not really. I mean, there was enough for text messages to go through in some places and calls to go through in some places, but it's super spotty. And even though it told me that I had LTE, like at Old Faithful, we didn't have data. Like there was no data.
Don't need it there, but I was just curious. Like
I knew that going in. It's always disappointing though, because they've got this like they've got their app and the app updates with all like the geyser predictions and stuff. And like you can
pretty sure they didn't have an app 15 years ago.
Yeah, well, last time they had an app and they had a map, but the map only worked when you had data. So that wasn't helpful. So they've updated it so you can download all the data. So you can at least get all the map and all the information about the different places. So I did that prior to going in. So at least like we could see where stuff was and whatever. And you would get like, and I would get like the last known prediction and it would store that. So like it would still have the stuff from whatever this morning or that morning. But yeah, once you're in there, you're kind of SOL as far as like trying to figure out what things are expected to go off when.
I have fond memories of, at the Mud Pots, we were part of the Mud Pots, and having this enormous map laid on the hood of the car and debating where we were going to go next and like sort of hedging our bets on what eruptions we're seeing, or should we head further east into the beautiful fields out there. And boy, that's just a magic spot in the world.
Yeah. So my parents hadn't, my stepmom had never been ever. My dad had only been when he was like 15 or maybe younger. And he said like basically when he went, it was kind of like you drive up to Old Faithful and that was pretty much it. Like there wasn't really much else. So we kind of were tour guides and we're like, you know, because we've been like a whole bunch of times. So like, okay, we're gonna do this and this, and then we're gonna do this and this, and then we're gonna do this other stuff, and kind of get a collection of different types of things that Yellowstone is good for. So it's kind of cool being able to kind of show off the places that, like, going to the places that we know are cool and avoiding the places that we know are not really worth the time.
We did, I did like a five plus mile hike. I don't know, early one morning with my dad. Like, we went in extremely early. And in the mist, we came across this pond area, and there were beavers working on a dam. And just like standing there in the distance and watching the beaver, I'd never seen a beaver before in my life. So it was
ever so briefly, because there's a delivery person that looks very confused outside our house.
Sure, we'll be here. In the meantime, we can talk about Imbroglia.
Yeah, and then it will be time for the definition. We actually have feedback, which is interesting. Oh. I don't actually know. It's feedback with a Genrenator, and I'm not sure if we should read it or not.
Oh no, is it negative feedback?
No, it's like, I want to do a thing, and I'm not sure how to do it, and
oh,
yeah,
yeah. I forget the Genrenator is a thing, but I have it in a couple channels and other Slack teams I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically in a channel on a Slack that I'm in that has a channel called Good Band Names. Like, if you're creating good band names, you need a genre to go with.
You don't have the Genrenator. Yeah.
Here you go. Yeah. It's like a no brainer. Like, it, I feel like it was, you know.
That band makes.
Yeah.
Honky Tonk Discotheque.
Yeah. Steampunk Tuba Quartet.
Yeah, so Imbroglio, you were saying that you think it's an action to imbroglio.
I do. It might be a way you prepare a food.
Imbroglio, yes.
The pasta.
Well, then I feel like it's dunking in boiling water.
Oh, maybe I am just falling into your definition of it.
Maybe imbroglio is not the act of, maybe it's like, you know, those there's like those pasta cookers. Have you ever seen like in like the fancy restaurants where like it's a big tall thing filled with boiling water, and you stick the spaghetti in, like, you know, long ways, like, so you don't have to break it. Yeah. So yes. That's an imbroglio.
I for the first time in the history of the show, I'm in complete agreement. That's obviously what it is.
Obviously, like, that's the imbroglio. Yeah.
All right. Great. Well, we can let Allison know when she's back that we have
exactly. We've nailed it.
Yeah, we know exactly what it is. That's funny. So have I told you about NASCAR Club?
NASCAR Club, no.
Yes. Oh, this is hysterical. So Tyler, age 10, is very into NASCAR because it is just the culture around here, which is fine. Okay. So he created a club. And so on Tuesday nights, for an hour, not an hour, for 30 minutes, we as a family sit down and he gives like a summary of the last weekend's race, where the upcoming race is. There's a section called Track Talk that tells us about the track. But in addition to that, there are driver reports that he started assigning after the first week. So I've had to do like a report every Tuesday on different drivers in NASCAR. Which
the
is
NASCAR hysterical. Club is like a family club about NASCAR.
Yes. So this last week I did a report on a guy called Cale Yarborough. It's beautiful.
I actually
it's
heard
like,
that name.
He is famous because in 1979 at the Daytona 500, the first 500 mile race aired on television. Like, there's all this fascinating history that doesn't matter at all. But the first 500 mile race aired on television. He was trying to pass for first place and wrecked the guy that was in first. So they came to like arrest in the infield and got out and got into a fist fight live on television. And that is like the beginning of like NASCAR being aired on a regular basis.
Nice.
And people were like, I got to get more of that.
Yeah.
Like, he and Bobby, Donnie, Allison got into this fist fight. And that's like, and also obviously like, hey, there's this stereotype around NASCAR. Like that age, like the late 70s, he raced for a guy, like a team owner's name was Banjo Matthews. It's these, like the names and like the history are just, I crack up. It's baffling. Like, you couldn't like imagine something more bizarre than some of these stories. It's wonderful. It's also sick, but
So we have determined what Imbroglio actually is, Allison. So you can tell.
Not just that. We've also determined we are correct. So yes. Go ahead and explain it.
So you can tell us what you think it is, but our answer is obviously the right one.
Yeah. Okay. So it is an extremely confused, complicated, or embarrassing situation.
Oh, that's a long way to say life.
And the archaic definition, which I thought was really funny, is just a confused heap.
Confused heap. So you fall into an imbroglio?
Yeah.
I hear you.
I don't know. I like that definition more.
Yeah.
And the example they gave was Watergate.
Okay. So I just feel a like, weird, overly yeah. complicated, confusing thing. Okay.
Is Watergate seems so passe these days.
Like a time, though.
Yeah. Like they just broke in and stole stuff from the other political party. That's all. They didn't like storm the Capitol building wearing horns or anything so bizarre like that.
Quiz, or should we hold off?
We've got 4 minutes. I think we've got time for a quiz, okay. Especially when if Gary is distracted.
I have to take a quiz. Do you want to help me with the quiz? Okay, sit in my lap here. Come here.
It's a good one.
Okay.
So the title of the quiz is you're going to be identifying quotes, but it's Dolly Parton or Dalai Lama.
Oh, this is a good one. Dolly Parton or Dalai Lama. You like Dolly
binary
Parton,
jazz
right?
quizzes.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Are you ready, wow. Chris?
Yeah, this is a different
stuff. He's pulling up a tally sheet anyway. To see who wins.
Okay, the first quote is, remember that sometimes not getting what you want is a wonderful stroke of luck.
Dolly Parton.
Dalai Lama. You said Parton?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You
Dalai
got it?
Lama.
Thank you.
Dalai Lama.
People take different roads seeking fulfillment and happiness. Just because they're not on your road doesn't mean they've gotten lost.
Parton.
Dolly Parton. Yeah, Dolly Parton, yeah.
Yeah? Dalai yeah. Lama.
Oh, I was ready to score one for both of us.
Storms make trees take deeper roots.
Dolly Parton.
Dalai Lama.
Parton.
I had I almost went I almost did the other thing just because like if I got it if Gary was wrong then
I'm not a politician and I don't want to be.
Dolly Parton.
Yeah, Dolly Parton.
Correct. If you think you're too small to make a difference, try sleeping with a mosquito.
Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
Dolly I can Parton. Hear her saying it actually in my head.
Dalai Lama.
Damn it. Darn it. Dang it. Snap.
We cannot direct the wind, but we can adjust the sails.
Oh, boy. This
Dalai
was a crap,
Lama.
Honestly.
Yes.
Yeah, Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton.
Yes.
Out of 6 billion humans, the troublemakers are just a handful.
Dolly Parton.
Is it though? yeah, Dolly Parton.
Dalai Lama.
I should have gone. That's I should have gone with my gut. Thus concludes the quiz. Okay, so Gary wins with 3-2.
I never guessed Dalai Lama. That was my strategy.
That was your strategy. That's true. Yeah, and I should have
it
done Dalai
really.
Lama.
I just feel like I could hear.
Should have done Dalai Lama at the last one.
What does Miss Dolly Parton do for you?
My friend likes to send books to me.
Mm-hmm. She likes to send books to me. Yep. Do you know where your last Dolly Parton book is?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I was going to see if you wanted to get it and show it to your friend, to my friends. Your friends, too.
Yeah.
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 That's
what does a Dalai Lama do for you?
Yeah, what does a Dalai Lama do for you?
I don't know.
Do you know what the Dalai Lama is or who the Dalai Lama is?
I don't know.
You don't know? It's okay. Maybe we can learn about that this weekend.
Yeah. That sounds like a good weekend project.
Yeah. All right. We have to put corn out in the squirrel feeder. That's one of our other plans this weekend. And what else do we have to do this weekend? Anything? What do we have to fix around the house? I'm actually hoping she has an answer because I don't know. Should we work on anything?
So shy all of a sudden.
I know. Like, now you're on camera, now you're quiet. Is that the deal?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it works.
I love this hair, right? Yeah.
I have a haircut tomorrow. It's going to be so magical.
Wow. When's the last time you got a haircut?
It's been over a year.
Yeah. Did you do your bangs yourself?
Yeah, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, I figured.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.